I appreciate our junior church workers and their faithfulness to help the kids grow spiritually and learn things from the Bible week after week. It's not just babysitting out there. They actually help them to grow spiritually, and praise the Lord for that. Take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Last time we looked at 2 Samuel, we saw that the beginning of this chapter was David's last official words. Now, he has some other words later on, but these were his last official words, and he had some wonderful things to say in verses 1 through 7. I think it's so appropriate that right after his last official words, the Bible launches into a list, a catalog of men who were faithful to the Lord's cause, faithful to David, and the Bible calls them David's mighty men. How many of you have heard of David's mighty men? Okay, famous group in the Bible. We're going to read just one verse today, and I have for you today a message that will help us focus on the mighty men in general, and then the first one that's mentioned. Look with me at verse number 8, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. Father, I pray that we'll learn some things concerning these mighty men this morning, and that this particular mighty man, Adino, would be an inspiration to us, an example. Lord, that you would raise up from among Bethel Baptist Church some mighty men. Lord, they might be men, they might be ladies, but Lord, may we be mighty men for God, people who would live for you, people who would count in your cause, people who would have an impact and make a difference. Father, I pray that you bless this message you laid upon my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Whenever God raises up a man like David to do a work, he always raises up mighty men to help do that work. Anywhere you find the work of God being done, you will find this principle to be true. There are no spiritual lone rangers. Okay? Yes, we should stand alone for the Lord, and we're going to see that some of these mighty men did so. But the overarching concept is this: God called David for something special. But David was not going to accomplish that unless he had some mighty men come alongside to help. And these mighty men are incredible. I want us, first of all, to see today their character. Their character. They were men of bravery, men of faith, men of valor. And the times in which these men lived were very needy times. They lived in time of great conflict. The enemy, most of the time the Philistines, were out to destroy. There was great conflict. It was a time of great courage. The enemy's greatest weapon, perhaps, was fear. And yet these mighty men display courage in the midst of fear. And it was also a time of great victory, because through these men, God defeats the enemy. We see their character, bravery, faith, and valor. Secondly, we see their commitment. These were men of love and loyalty. Oh, they loved their king. These men came to David. Most of them came originally when he was running from King Saul. He was hiding in the cave of Adullam. And the Bible says that men came to him who were downtrodden, prisoners, escaped, outcasts. Really, people that you would not think would be the kind of men you'd want for your army. But God transformed their lives. And under the leadership of King David, they became David's mighty men. And they fell in love with him. They loved David. And they would do anything for him. They were loyal to him. They stayed with David through thick and thin. Folks, when I think about our heavenly King, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think about the transformation that he's brought in my life and in your life, we ought to feel like these mighty men felt to David. We ought to say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I'll serve you. I'll do whatever you want because Man, my life was a wreck before I met you. And you've taught me, you've trained me, you saved me, you gave me a reason to live and a cause for which to fight. And so, Lord, I'll do whatever you want and I'll be loyal to you to the very end. We need some mighty men. These were men of commitment. Their character, their commitment. Let's talk a little bit about their constituency. Their constituency. Who were these guys? Look down at verse 13. And 3 of the 30 chief went down. Notice the little phrase there, the 30. The 30. It comes up again in verse 23. Here the Bible says, he was more honorable than the 30. And then in verse 24, Asahel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. Now you say, Pastor, you're just kind of pulling those out of there. Hey, don't worry. I think the Lord's leading us to spend a couple messages in this chapter. So we'll get to that, because this is such a great chapter. At first I thought I'm going to just preach this whole chapter in one message. And then it just kept growing and growing and expanding. And there's so much here. We're going to have a great time. But notice here it says, the 30. The 30. It would kind of be like the special guard. You know, we would have today, you know, certain people that are the special bodyguards for the president. And here in the Old Testament, David's mighty men were called the 30. Look at verse 39, because something curious is said here. It says, Uriah the Hittite, and then it says, 37 in all. If you were to count up all of the mighty men that are listed in this chapter, you wouldn't come up with 30, you'd come up with 37. Well, why are they called the 30? If there's 37. People say, oh, see, there's mistakes in the Bible. No. This is the inspired word of God. There's no mistakes here. We just have to understand it better, right? And God's ways are hard to understand sometimes. But this isn't too tough. How can verse 39 say that there was 37 of them altogether? Well, a couple answers. The 30 could be a rounded number. Of course, if I rounded off 37, I would get 40, okay, so I don't know if I agree with the commentators on that, but that's one answer they give. I think it's probably this. Look again in verse 39, Uriah the Hittite. By the time this was penned, what do we know about Uriah the Hittite? Okay, he's dead. So I think it's likely that we have men listed here who died in the service of the king, and they were replaced. And so there needed to be more than 30 to make up the 30, because as some died, some took their place. Also, another way to look at this is I believe some of these 37 were replacements for some of the 30 who moved up into the ranks of the first 3 and the second 3. We'll look at it in weeks ahead, but if you go home and read this chapter today, you'll see that it talks about the first 3. And then the second 3. And then it launches into the list of the 30. And so perhaps they were replacements who moved up in the ranks. But see this phrase, the 30. The special guys who stood out so that they were recorded in the Bible for all of history. Now, how many of you have a hard time when you get to chapters that start listing out names? Come on. All right. You know, if it was just like David and Billy and Pete, or Peter, you know, we could read those names. But when you get to, you know, some of these tough Bible names, and you think, oh man, these chapters. But you know what? You would be excited about it. You would be excited about it if you were one of those guys. If you got named in the list. If you were in, you know, how many of you, you got this thing from high school that said you were in who's who among American high school students? Come on, admit it. How many of you got it? You know, the reason they gave that to you is they just want you to buy the $35 book. Right, that's all they're trying to do, get you to buy the book as your name listed in there. But anyway, here these guys are listed with David's mighty men, and it was special to him to be in that list, because they said, you know what, we didn't do it to get in a list. We did it because we love our king and we're loyal. But isn't it nice when once in a while somebody notices? We don't want recognition of men, but when it comes, we thank the Lord for it, don't we? And these guys were listed in David's mighty men. So what's the lesson? Why are there 37 listed in the 30? I think this is the lesson. There's always room for more mighty men in God's army. There's always room for more. David began with 30 chief men and 7 others joined the ranks. Folks, it'll take dedication on your part and my part. It'll take obedience. It'll take hard work. But folks, the door is open. God says, I could use some more mighty men. He can never have too many mighty men. The parallel passage to this is 1 Chronicles chapter 11. And that chapter actually lists some others. Now, from my study, I've come up with not only 37, but actually 56 different men that were noted at one time as being members of the 30. They were David's mighty men. Think about this. In his 40-year reign, thousands of soldiers fighting for the cause of God and for David, 56 men stood out for the cause. Oh, may the Lord put in your heart and in my heart today to say, Lord, I want to stand out for you. I don't want to get to the end of my Christian life and just be kind of like an also-ran. Lord, I'd like to see you do some great things for which you get the glory. But Lord, use my life. Don't let my life just kind of be coasting through the Christian walk and then, praise the Lord, end up in heaven. Lord, I want to see you use me to do something that's going to count for your cause, that's going to count for eternity. Oh, that the Lord would put a fire in your heart today and to say, I want to be one of God's mighty men. We don't have complete portraits of these men. Earlier in 2 Samuel, we did some messages called portraits. We don't have complete portraits. Some of these guys are just mentioned by name, and that's about it. But for some of them, we have snapshots. One or two incidents in their lives when they exhibited bravery and faith and valor and love and loyalty. And I want us to learn from these snapshots to be mighty men of God. Folks, we need some mighty men today. We need somebody to be mighty for the cause of the Lord. We need somebody to be mighty for the cause of our nation. You know, America is slipping away from God. I don't have to tell you that. And we need somebody to stand up and be mighty, be a mighty man of God. We need some mighty men for Bethel Baptist Church, some people who will face the hardships of getting into our first building and the trials of sitting on these black auction chairs. We need some mighty men who say, you know what? I'm gonna do whatever it takes for the cause of the Lord to succeed here at Bethel Baptist Church. We need some mighty men. You need some mighty men for your families. You know who was a mighty man for my family when I was a kid? It was my little sister. My little sister was a mighty man for God. Mighty girl for God. You know why? It was my little sister who said, Daddy, why can't we go to church on Sunday night too? And my little sister got our family to be faithful in church to all the services when Dad and Mom maybe didn't want to. And because of that, I started growing like a weed, I guess they say. I started growing spiritually because I was getting fed spiritual food from the pastor who was faithfully preaching the Word of God up there at Ben Salem Baptist Church outside of Philadelphia. I'm telling you, it was a great blessing. But you know who God used to be a mighty man in my family? My little sister. God can use you for your family. Verse 8 mentions the first mighty man. His name is Adino the Esnite. Now, I'm sure glad this first one doesn't have a hard name. Adino. Okay, sounds kind of Italian, doesn't it? Adino the Esnite. Well, he's got some other names. Actually, in 1 Corinthians 11, he's called Joshobeam the Hackmanite. And here in this verse, verse 8, he's a Tachmanite. Well, what is it with all these different names? Well, I want you to see a couple things about him. First of all, he was intelligent. He was intelligent. Most commentators believe that this word Tachmanite, and in 1 Corinthians 11, Hackmanite, is a term used for a position. He was a wise counselor. He was a really smart man. He was the kind of guy you would go to when you needed counsel. They valued his counsel. They valued the things that he said. He had a lot of wisdom. Adino, he was a Tachmanite, a wise man. But notice, he wasn't too important to risk his life in battle for his king. See, sometimes people like that get kind of specialized, you know. Some preachers will be like, well, you know, I'm the pastor, so I cannot go out soul winning. No, shame on you, okay? We need to be in the battle. I heard somebody tell last Monday, they had a special meeting of preachers where we all preach at each other. It was really good. But one of the guys told about a college ensemble that came through, and one of the young men on the college ensemble was a security guard at his college. And he mentioned one day he was in one of the large college auditoriums, and he saw this older gentleman with his hand against the wall, leaning down and picking up a piece of trash. And he went over a little closer in the, it was kind of dark and they had shut down things, and he was surprised anybody was still in the building. And here it was, the president of the college, picking up trash. And he said, son, could you take these pieces of trash and find a trash can for them? And the guy said, yes, sir. And praise the Lord for somebody who says, you know, I'm not too high or too intelligent to be involved in what some people would call a lowly task. And here, Adino, sure, he's a Tachmonite, but he's willing to risk his life for the cause of God and for the cause of his king, King David. Some people would say, if we didn't have this word Tachmonite in here, some people would say, Adino, that guy was stupid. He's fighting 800 people at once. Oh, that's real smart. You know, now if there was eight guys coming at him, if there was eight guys, we'd say, Adino, are you sure you want to take on all eight guys at once? You think of those karate movies, you know, chop, 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 you know, and they're just killing off all the guys attacking him from all these different directions. And you think, you know, here's Adino, and he's killing eight. But it wasn't eight. You say, 80? Can you imagine one guy taking on 80? The Bible says how many? 800 at one time. You're crazy, Adino. What are you doing? Taking on, why don't you just let them have that? Let them have this area. Let's fall back. Let's get reinforcements. 800 at once? You're stupid. Listen, the Bible makes a point to tell us he was a wise man. He wasn't stupid. Some people think that you're stupid for using your life for the cause of the Lord. They say, you could make a lot more money if you did this. Or you could get a lot more prestige if you did this. Or if you didn't take such a strong stand on what the Bible teaches, then you would be a lot more popular with your friends or other people. Listen, you're not stupid, you're wise. You're wise if you do what God says. You say, yeah, could you make more money if you didn't serve God? Perhaps. Perhaps. But what did Jesus say? What shall it profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You're not stupid if you live for eternity. Some people will think you are, and some people probably thought Adino wasn't very smart, but wait. He was a Tachmonite. He knew what he was doing. He was intelligent. Listen, mighty men will see past the materialism of this world. Mighty men will see past the financial hurdles that this church has. Hey, we know before most of us got here, this church took on some debt. Okay, was it wise? Who knows? All we can say is, Lord, if it was wrong, forgive us. But we're going to go from here and we're going to see what God's going to do. And mighty men don't get discouraged and say, well, that's stupid. No, we're fighting for God's cause. Mighty men can see with the eyes of faith. And everybody else saw, how do we know it was 800? I think there were some cowards hiding in the bushes. I don't think Adino was counting. I think some cowards were hiding in the bushes counting. Hope they don't see me over here. Hope they don't know I'm an Israelite. Get them, Adino. You're crazy, but get them. And then they're counting them up. But you know what? Adino didn't just see the enemy. He saw by the eyes of faith that God could give the victory. Mighty men by faith can see what God can do in a situation. Because not only was he intelligent, but number two, he was outnumbered. He was outnumbered. Here was Adino, a man who did not give up, even though he was greatly outnumbered. How many enemies were there? You know, in the parallel passage, 1 Chronicles 11, verse 11, Listen closely. Here's what the Bible says. This is the number of the mighty men whom David had. Joshobeam, a Hachmonite, the chief of the captains. He lifted up his spear against 300 slain by him at one time. You say, well, wait a minute. Samuel says it's Adino the Esnite, and then Chronicles says it's Joshobeam the something or other. What was that? Oh, the Hachmonite, which same as Tachmonite. Okay, well, what is it? Okay, first of all, the different names shouldn't bother us. We refer to people by different names nowadays. My wife and my parents and my little blisters, sisters, call me Mark. Okay? Some people call me Dad. My coaches used to say, Needler! Needler! Get over here! And then some people now call me Pastor. Okay? Different names, but all the same person. And the different names shouldn't bother us in the Bible. Some people say, oh, you know, the Bible's got mistakes. It's not mistakes. God's Word is inerrant and infallible. He's preserved it for us. You say, well, Pastor, what are you going to do about that number? Because 2 Samuel says he killed 800, and 1 Chronicles 11:11 says he killed 300. So did he kill 300 or did he kill 800? Yes. Yes, he did. Well, it could be two separate incidents. I heard it back there. It could be 1,100. Could have been two separate incidents. It could have been the same incident. Guess what? When he slew 800, he slew 300 first. And again, I see these cowardly guys back in the bushes. 298? 299? 300? I can't go kill 300. I gotta go tell somebody. Adino, he killed 300 guys. You're not gonna believe it. 300 guys. He didn't even stay to see the second wave. And then 500 more. And I don't have a problem. God's word does not contradict itself. By the way, I did a little bit of math here. If he slew one per minute, it would have taken him 13 hours and 20 minutes. But the Bible's clear, he did it at one time. Now, he could have killed more than one per minute. You know, die, you know. I mean, that's like 5 and 15 seconds there. So I don't know, but the Bible says he did it at one time, so he did it at one time. Okay, God said it, that settles it. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, this is crazy. There's no way that one guy could have killed 800. I would agree with you if you said there's no way that one guy could kill 800 on his own, in the flesh. Oh, but when he's empowered by the Spirit of God, when God's on his side, get this phrase, God plus one is a majority. God plus one is a majority. Mighty men know this. If you want to be a mighty man for God, you better get it in your head. God plus one is a majority. It might look like we're outnumbered. It might look like, well, you know, Bethel Baptist Church kind of small. How are we going to impact this community? It might look like I'm the only one at work that loves the Lord. How am I going to be able to stand up for Jesus at the place where I work? It might look like, oh, America's going down the tubes and there's hardly any people who believe what the Bible says about morality and against homosexuality and against abortion and what's wrong. And you know, there's hardly any of us. Wait a minute. God plus one is a majority. If you want to be a mighty man, you've got to know it. Leviticus 26:8, 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Deuteronomy 32:30, how should one chase 1,000, and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? You know what the Lord does for our enemies? He sells them out, he shuts them up, and then one can chase 1,000. And two could put 10,000 to flight. Joshua 23:10, one man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. Psalm 91:7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. And I don't know, but Adino saw these guys coming and he was after Joshua and he might have said, you know, I remember Joshua, it's written down for us, and it said, one man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, He it is that fighteth for you, as He hath promised you. Lord, you promised, this is our land, it's your land, Lord. You promised it. And he claimed the promise of God, and God used him to slay 800 enemies. He was intelligent. He was outnumbered, but not outmanned, because God bless one as a majority. And lastly today, he was courageous. He was courageous. He didn't turn and run. Courage does not mean that you're not afraid. Courage doesn't mean that you don't struggle sometimes to say, Lord, I'm trying to lay this at your feet, but I'm worried. Worry's a sin, Lord. Forgive me for it. I cast it at your feet. I'm still worried. Lord, I cast it at your feet again. Okay, I have some fear here. Worried, courage doesn't mean you don't fear. Courage means you do the right thing despite the fear. Mark Twain said, courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not the absence of fear. Another said, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than fear. Isn't that good? If I have courage, it doesn't mean I'm not afraid. It just means I say there's something more important than the fear that I'm experiencing right now. And so I'm going to do what needs to be done. Dale Carnegie said, most of the important things in the world have been accomplished by people who have kept on trying when there seemed to be no hope at all. Sometimes in your life you feel like, I just can't overcome this sin and get victory. There's no hope. Listen, if you'll rely upon God and His Holy Spirit, you can have the victory. Because God plus one is a majority, and He can lick that sin in your life. You might look at situations that have to do with finances in your family or with our church, and you say, there's no way that this can be done. Listen, it can be done with God. And we do what God wants us to do, and don't let fear stop you. Another man said, courage is never to let your actions be influenced by your fears. Folks, you need courage for your family. If your family is going to turn out right in this world, you need courage to stand up for what's right and courage to sometimes say no. David's sons, Adonijah, went astray and Absalom went astray because he would never tell them no. And we've got to be willing to stand with courage in our family. We need to stand with courage for our church. Seeing a church established for the glory of God is a spiritual battle. And we've got to be mighty in that battle. These mighty men lived in a day when mighty men for God and His cause were sorely needed. We live in a day when mighty men of God are sorely needed. When D.L. Moody was confronted with Ezekiel 22:30, he had a wonderful response. The verse says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. And when D.L. Moody was challenged with that verse, he responded to that sermon and he said in his heart in prayer to the Lord, he said, Lord, I'll be that man. I'll be that man. And God used D.L. Moody to shake continents with the gospel. God used him to establish the wonderful method that we call Sunday school. It's still being used of God today. And God used him to win a multitude to Christ, seeing souls saved from hell and from sin for all eternity. Because he said, Lord, you're seeking for a man. Lord, by your grace, I'll be that man. Oh, that today God would put in your heart a fire that says, Lord, I'll be a mighty man for you. Let's bow in prayer.
We'd like to thank you for listening today. If the Lord has especially touched your heart, or you've made a decision for Christ, or perhaps you just have some questions you'd like to ask, please go to our website, www.bethelbc.info, and under the main menu, click on the word contact. Again, the website is www.bethelbc.info.